Looking to start a podcast of your own? This year, Podcast Movement, the world's largest podcaster conference, will be in Chicago. Learn more at podcastmovement.com and use code CPC to save $30 off registration.
It is the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists and industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Right on. So, Haima Black, I am here with Feline from Chicago. I don't know if I should use your real name. If we don't use your real name, if it's kind of a Batman thing, if it's like a secret identity, but Feline?
Yeah.
Does that work? Cool.
Great, yeah.
Right on. So, that is your artist name. And to kind of give a little bit of background, you and I met out in the Chicago scene like a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. We connected online. And it's been this kind of thing on my end. Now, I'm sure you were not like, man, at some point I got to connect. But I started seeing all the things that you were doing across the city in music and in a lot of really cool art spaces. And I kept thinking to myself, like, man, like, we have got to get her on the podcast. So to me, this feels very long overdue, and I'm really happy that you're up here tonight.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way. Frankly,
I'm sure you were sitting at home being like, when is Dynasty Podcast going to call me? Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can say the same about Dynasty. It feels like there's a wonderful range of artists that have been on the podcast. I'm glad to be one of them now.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. One of the things we're doing with our, so we celebrated our 10-year anniversary recently in August. And Coming out of that, what we wanted to really focus on is I looked back and I was like, man, there's so many artists that we haven't gotten to have on yet. And the artists we have had on are amazing and incredible. They're our friends. We love them. But some of them we were like, man, it's like the sixth or seventh time we've talked to you. I'm like, we got to start bringing in some of these people that we haven't talked to yet to compliment the artists we have. So, again, you were at the top of the list of people that I really wanted to connect with.
Oh, thanks so much.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
So, you know, I have questions about kind of, I guess, how you do, what you do, and what you do, and all those things. But let's start at the beginning. I guess, when and where did music really come into your life?
Very early, kind of when I was a super young baby. I mean, there's so many things I can say. When I was born, my first sort of bed was at this cradle on top of two speakers that my dad would like listen to amazing music in Lithuania.
Yeah.
Like lots of disco and like, I don't know. Early 90s vibes, even older vibes, so much stuff. So I guess I was exposed to it at a very early age and loved it enough to like continue it throughout my life. I don't know. And then it kind of went through a lot of different phases. I started singing, then I started playing piano, taking piano lessons, and then eventually I took some guitar lessons, ended up dropping them, taught myself what I thought guitar was.
I'm seeing a lot of themes tonight from, you know, our interviewees about just, you know, being self-taught and just going for it.
Yeah, totally. I think that's the way to do it. I mean, that's the only way I know how. It seems like it's been successful so far, you know? It's kind of like the thought of do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
And you'll be happy, or at least you'll feel like you're trying.
I mean, it seems obvious, but it's amazing, you know, hearing you, and we just had Bernie Love. It's really inspiring to hear both of you guys talk about just, like, going for what you know you were put here to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely something for me that feels natural.
Yeah. So I think something that's really interesting about you as an artist in Chicago is that, again, also like Bernie Love, who was on before you, the term artist really encompasses a number of different things for you. It's not just, I feel like it's limiting to call you just a musician. Does that seem fair?
Yeah, I mean, I do other things, yeah. But I guess mostly what I'm doing now is like encompassing all of the things that I like to do and have been working on kind of into music, kind of like finding a way to braid them all into one thing, like combining my like theater background and performance art background into music, into my stage show, into my kind of like visual I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, so let's kind of break some of this down, because your stage show and your online content, it's very theatrical. It's it's very purposefully done, it looks like. I mean, bring us into what all goes into your presentation.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. That's really nice to hear. I mean, for me, a lot goes into kind of sculpting this world that is feline. I don't know. For me, it's something that's like clean, simple, a little bit future, but nostalgic. Mm-hmm. Something that feels like a girl stuck in a virtual world, like with a grid in the background, just like dealing with life.
Yeah. There's a lot of white.
There is a lot of white.
When you said clean, it's very white.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of white. I mean, I guess these are things that specifically I like. I find aesthetically pleasing. And somehow they seem to work with the music that I'm making and kind of the content that comes out of what I do. It just feels like both of those kind of fit together in terms of like being minimalistic yet sharp and kind of like throbbing, meaningful. I don't know. They just seem to fit together. And I never want to, I don't know, even with like branding and like imaging, to me it's always seemed more fitting to keep it minimal instead of like put some sort of like really daring logo what I do.
Well, you know, for anybody who's like listening or watching this on the live stream who's thinking like, okay, that sounds really interesting, they can see examples of this online. Like, I know the needs video really demonstrates this. So if you Google feline, and the way that's spelled is F-E-E
space
lion, like the animal, and then needs, they can see an example of your presentation, right?
Yeah, totally. It's the music video where there's this like giant geodome and like a collection of dancers dressed in white, kind of like also in this world that we're talking about, this like computeristic, like artsy, clean world, just like doing a series of kind of like contact improv movement.
And how did you develop this? How did you decide that that was going to be kind of the look and aesthetic that you were going to execute? Like, was that always in your head, or did it really develop over time?
Yeah, that specific project went through a lot as well, kind of like lots of hills and also valleys, if you will. But yeah, I mean, I guess the vision was always there for it to be specifically clean and white, kind of like pristine. And then I guess just all of the journey that the project went through led to this idea of, you know, humans trying to interact within some sort of sculpture that was interfering human connection.
That's amazing.
Oh, thanks.
So one of the things that's really interesting about your work is that the, I don't know if origins is the right word or support is the right word, but it has a lot of connection and backing in two things from what I've read online is Salonathon and University of Chicago. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. Salonathon was one of the first things that, I mean, honestly, Salonathon kind of saved my life when I was at a really low point. And I just found this like amazing community of artists and of all sorts of kind of backgrounds and talents and preferences and all of this stuff at Salonathon. And Jane Beachy, who runs Salonathon, really just kind of opened her arms and like engulfed me into this amazing world. And so, yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's been a year and a half that I've been that I've known Jane, that I've been performing with Solanathon on Monday nights.
Yeah.
And so then also through Solanathon, I was a part of that. We had a Solanathon summer residency at the University of Chicago.
That's amazing. Like,
yeah, and it's all through that.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean to have a summer residency where, like, you have this creative community that connects to a large-scale university? Oh. And bring us into that, because when I read coming from Cal, like, I teach at Columbia, and I was like, that sounds so intriguing and exciting.
Well, I mean, I cried the first time that we walked into the building and we saw all of these amazing resources that we had to use. I cried because I didn't go to college. I didn't I didn't have any of that. And it was just so overwhelming and like rewarding to dream, to know that I can use this.
What were some of the resources they had?
Yeah, so we had the whole building. So the building is the Logan Arts Center, mm-hmm. I think. Don't quote me, but like Logan Center for the Arts, I think is what it's called. And this amazing woman, Heidi Coleman, was showing us everything that we have. And basically we had this room that was kind of like a black box.
Mm-hmm.
Stage also had like rigs for like silks and circus arts stuff, had like incredible technological capabilities. Like we ended up using multiple projectors in there, did some like kind of like DIY projection mapping in there. I mean, I had all of my music hooked up to their system.
Right.
They're like PA system, and was able to also like have like a little Britney Spears earpiece, you know, and like
the dream.
I know. It was incredible. It was so incredible. And it all happened in one room. So like we were able to use the resources from the whole building to bring it into one room and really transform the space. It was no longer a rehearsal space, but like an immersive environment.
It sounds like an artist's dream, though.
Yeah, it was so crazy. Yeah.
Now, reading up on you online, there are a few great interviews with you. One of them is Vice, and I want to talk about that in a second, mm-hmm. because the Vice piece to me feels very defining, very encompassing.
That was the
kind of read I got in it. But the other one was, I believe, with Cusp Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And I think artists are always surprised. I'm like, oh, you did your homework. But I always try to do that when I like talk to anybody, awesome. Because you know, I think I've seen interviews where the people don't do their homework and they're just like, so what's it like being music?
Yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah.
I appreciate you doing the thing that journalists are expected to do. Yeah. Right.
So, yeah.
So reading this interview, I think that was the one where you were talking about kind of, being in New York for a bit and it didn't sound like it was a good fit, and then coming to Chicago and really finding that a lot more welcoming. So I guess as an independent artist, as a DIY artist, what is it meant to be in Chicago? What are the advantages of being an independent DIY artist in Chicago? Like, what does this city give to you?
It feels like home. It feels like a really great foundation. I think that people here are very supportive of each other and are willing to work together to kind of like all go to one place in the end. Whereas like in New York, I didn't really feel that. I mean, I was also given like at a really in a hard place, like trying to understand what the city was, trying to understand what I was doing and how it was fitting into being in that specific city. And so I don't know, maybe I didn't spend enough time there. Maybe it was the right or the wrong timing for me to be there. But I never felt that New York was supportive of what I was doing, or like people that were doing the similar thing weren't necessarily supportive, but instead were like clawing to get somewhere instead of like boosting.
There's so many more people. And I think you're right. Like, if you can find the right community in Chicago, which it sounds like you have with Solanathon, with the U of C project and everything else you're doing, and the strong DIY community here, I think Chicago can be a very supportive place.
Totally, yeah. I mean, so far it's been super rewarding being here.
who are some other artists, venues, you know, elements of the city and the community that you've connected with?
I mean, Empty Bottle is one of the most amazing places. So I've been really lucky to have played some shows there and just, I don't know, that room is really special.
Legendary.
And for me, there's really, really no room like it in the city. I mean, I've played multiple different ones, not all of them, but, that's really special. I don't know, that this just felt like a good time to mention that I'm playing another big room in January at Metro.
When you were talking about Empty Bottle in my head, I was thinking, like, to me, Empty Bottle, Shubas, and Metro are the kind of legendary spaces. There's a million great venues in Chicago, but those are the ones where legends have graced the stage, and it's just been a different experience. So you're playing Metro in January. What's the event with that?
So it's a part of the Tomorrow Never Knows Festival, which is really cool. I mean, there's lots of stuff happening throughout. I think Shubas is a part of it, too. Lincoln Hall is a part of it. And so I'm playing with Wild Bell.
That's huge.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Like, they seem so amazing. I haven't met them yet, but just, like, what I'm hearing about them is so special. Their music is amazing. I'm, like, excited that they're Chicago, too. I had no idea.
Yeah, they have a connection to Chicago, absolutely. I think from earlier on. And then you have a record that has been discussed, like a, you know, it's mentioned in the Vice piece.
Secret.
Let's touch on the Vice piece, then we'll talk about the record.
Sure.
But the Vice piece that came out, what imprint was that on under Vice? Because there's all these different umbrella sites for Vice.
Yeah, so it was a part of, it was published under the Creators Project.
That's right, yeah.
Which is like more arts and there's like a lot of performance art on there, kind of like lots of visual art and stuff. So that was really cool. The same day, I guess it's not really bad. But so yeah, it was basically on the summer residency with Salonathon at U of C and the Chicago Performance Lab, which I did with my creative partner Kendra Miller. And there was a lot of people that were a part of our team. And so basically Kendra and I were working together to make this like interactive room that I was talking to you about earlier. That what the presentation turned out to be, it was like a live performance of my new work along with, it was kind of like a one act piece with like, spoken word happening in there, some like, beautiful, dancing that Kendra and, Al Evangelista choreographed. They're a part of Walkabout Theater, which is like another amazing part of Chicago that I am linked to in some way. And so they, you know, brought in dancing. There was like another woman, Christine, who we worked with that flew in from New York to work on this University of Chicago piece. And so there's like a projection of her and then like some sound recordings of her. And everything kind of like has to deal with being a woman in this like technological age, dealing with the internet, dealing with internet love, dealing with all of that.
Everything that comes along with the internet.
What a crazy world. it's really messed up. But so the Vice piece was basically about that project.
Yeah.
And kind of like the stems and seeds of things that I was working at the time, which for me was, you know, making new music, incorporating a laptop to my set, not for music, but for visuals. And so I was basically working on this idea of how can I manipulate my own visuals and have them be kind of like a subconscious reflection of what I'm thinking while playing, being shown behind me. It's kind of this like Inception kind of thing happening there.
Yeah, no, that's a good way of describing it. But I thought that the Vice piece did a really good job of really digging deep. You know, there's just like anything. There's good music journalism. There's bad music journalism. And there's music journalism that's pretty surface level, and that really clearly did its homework, really delved into the, in my opinion, the real spirit of what you were doing and really provided some real insight to it.
Thanks so much.
And so one of the other things it talks about is the record. It's called Carbon Copy, or at least according to the article.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about that? Because it's not out yet.
It's not out yet. So what is out right now is a demo of that, which is missing a few songs that are unfinished yet. But and that I haven't put anywhere. I just like have copies of it that I sell in person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you come to my show, you can get a secret copy of the demo.
That's good incentive.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. It's in the works. I'm like finishing up the last three songs that will be on there. I don't know. I'm excited about it. I have been using a lot of new gear, or specifically one new gear piece, which is a sampler.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a couple new drum machines. So I'm like using that in the album, which I'm excited about. It still sounds like raw and pretty minimal, but it's different than what I've put out before. And Dan Foley, maybe you know him of Bathhouse, helped me do the demos, and you know, we're kind of continuing to craft those songs and record them. And I mean, they should be out and ready by the springtime.
Right on. Well, I would love to connect again in the spring when the record's out.
Absolutely.
Do another interview. And I hope people who are listening to this or watching this, check out the live show, because it just, I haven't seen you perform live, but seeing the videos, reading about it, it just sounds like an incredible, very immersive multimedia experience.
Oh, thanks.
So that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Feline, where can people follow you online?
So my Instagram is 1-800-FELINE.
Yeah.
FEELION. And then Bandcamp, feline.bandcamp.com. There's a Facebook, too. There's a Twitter. There's a Tumblr. So all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, again, this was overdue. I'm really glad we got to have you on.
And
let's definitely
so
connect in 2016.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Feline, thank you.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcast. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.